We can say without exaggeration that the birth of the United States of America has changed the world. The establishment of the first independent country in the British territory initiated the destruction of colonial European empires. The creation of the United States was a successful example of how the colonists organized their own country, which later became the most powerful nation in the world. By spreading the ideas of enlightenment, American intellectuals have confirmed the ideals of government accountability to its citizens and expanded the political rights of the majority of the population. This political atmosphere laid the foundation for the future republican structure of the USA, long regarded as one of the most democratic regimes. The conflict between the colonists and Britain arose primarily for a number of economic reasons. First, the British central government exploited the colonies through increased taxes. For example, according to the Draft Act of 1765 on stamp duty, a resident of the colony had to pay £10 to a notary, compared to £2 of notarial fee in England. In addition, alcohol, coffee, chocolate, and fabric were subject to higher taxes in the colonies than in Metropolis. One of the most popular beverages in North America was tea, which was taxed by Metropolis with additional duties ranging from 5% to 25%. Secondly, the maritime trade between colonies, as well as with other countries, was prohibited under the Navigation Acts. This caused significant damage and slowed down industrial growth. Due to the growth of unequal trade with the colonies, the British Treasury received up to £2.7 million. Such restrictions have also led to an increase in smuggling, which has been fueled by high corruption of local officials. In addition, by proclamation of 1763, King George III of Great Britain established a boundary on the eastern limits of Indian lands. The colonists were strictly forbidden from crossing this line. From 1750 to 1770, the population of the American colonies grew rapidly, from 1 million to over 2 million. Consequently, the royal restriction caused a severe shortage of land for farmers, as almost 90% of the inhabitants were peasants. The quartering of the 10,000 soldiers of the Royal Army became a heavy burden for the colonists. The contingent was to be held at the expense of the colonies, and regular salary delays for the soldiers encouraged them to loot the civilian population. The devastation of American lands during the Seven Years' War increased poverty and inequality. This has often led to an increase in the number of revolts by Americans, outraged by social injustice. The American colonists demanded equal rights with the British. They asked for representation in the British Parliament, or to stop collecting taxes from the colonies. In 1765, the Congress Against the Stamp Duty, the Stamp Act Congress, gathered in New York. Delegates were sent from 9 of the 13 colonies. The meeting agreed to oppose British oppression and monopoly. Common methods of protest included sabotage, arson, and beatings of loyalists, i.e. residents of colonies that supported the British government, boycotting of British goods, and increased cooperation with smugglers. The most active oppositionists began to call themselves Sons of Liberty. The biggest rally of this association was the Boston Tea Party of 1773. During this event, rebels disguised as Native Americans, led by Samuel Adams, threw the tea, which belonged to the British East India Trade Company, from three British ships in Boston Harbor. The damage from the protest amounted to £70,000. Such actions angered the British monarchy. Then the Crown adopted intolerable acts. According to them, the trade in Boston port was banned. The autonomy of Massachusetts was abolished. The rights of local judges and legislative assemblies were restricted. Also, the Crown increased the number of British garrisons. In response to the repression, the American Patriots announced the holding of the First Continental Congress in Philadelphia on August 5, 1774, which was to demonstrate the unity of the local political elites and coordinate the 13 colonies' struggle for greater autonomy. Such actions prompted the merciless King George to take up the brutal armed suppression of the Continental opposition. On January 27, 1775, British troops landed near Boston and attempted to capture key towns and rebel warehouses in Concord. However, on 19 April, rebels under James Barrett, though less well armed, defeated the British in the first battle of the war. At this time, the formation and mobilization of the British and American armies, which were to come together in the fateful war, took place. The American forces consisted of the Continental Army, which in the second year of the war nominally numbered up to 42,000 soldiers, and police-armed groups with a nominal strength of up to 50,000 men. The state of uniforms, the provision of weapons, the level of military experience of most American troops was inferior to the British. But the rebels had a higher morale and support of the local population, and a better knowledge of the area. British forces in North America numbered up to 48,000, which was later augmented by a 30,000-strong corps of German mercenaries and more than 10,000 loyalists and Native Americans, which were allied to the British. Undeniable was the advantage of the British fleet blocking the rebel ports until France and Spain joined the United States. The rebels had some success during the Boston Campaign. During the Battle of Bunker Hill on 17 June, 2,500 Americans and a much smaller artillery were able to inflict heavy casualties on the 3,000-strong British force. Despite the nominal defeat, this battle raised the morale of the revolutionaries. The rebel conquest of the strategically important fort of Ticonderoga in early May 1775 replenished artillery and ammunition supplies and opened the way to Canada. On August 25, 1775, 1,200 Continental Army soldiers, led by Richard Montgomery, marched on Quebec. They were subsequently joined by 1,000 rebels under Benedict Arnold on 11 September. Severe weather conditions, constant skirmishes with British leans, and disease resulted in significant losses to American forces. The combined strength of these armies has been halved. Despite this, in November 1775, the Americans, led by Montgomery, took Montreal. However, the desperate attempt to capture the well-fortified city of Quebec was a complete fiasco due to a disastrous shortage of soldiers, artillery, and shells. Newly arrived John Burgoyne's 9,000-strong British army finally defeated American forces. With the death of General Montgomery and most of the army, the Americans lost the initiative in the Northern Theater of War. Americans joined forces and accelerated the state-building process during the Second Continental Congress in Philadelphia. This Congress of Deputies from all 13 colonies began its work as early as 10 May 1775, serving as the legislature. In the tumultuous May of 1776, the Congress, at the suggestion of John Adams, ratified the transformation of the colonies into states that gained substantially expanded freedom. Established states also received an increase in the number of people with voting rights. For the rebels, official diplomatic recognition by other countries, particularly Spain, the Netherlands, and France, all of which conflicted with Great Britain, was essential. Therefore, on July 4, 1776, the Congress, with the most notable participation of Thomas Jefferson, adopted the Declaration of Independence of the United States of America. This act became the basis of American statehood and proclaimed a new Confederal Republic. Meanwhile, in March 1776, General George Washington, who led an army of about 16,000 men, managed to reclaim Boston and Massachusetts. Skillfully maneuvering, he won them back from William Howe and his 11,000 British elite army. Having suffered a scathing defeat near Boston, the British regrouped and in mid-July launched a massive landing of up to 25,000 troops near New York under the cover of artillery fire from 40 British Navy ships. American forces in the region comprised up to 22,000 soldiers and militia. British General Howe, with the support of his fleet, defeated an army of revolutionaries until 22 October 1776 and captured New York City. Only 5,000 of Washington's troops remained, and about 6,000 Americans were captured by the British. The British also captured the strategically important fortified Newport. General Howe's forces gradually took over the states of New York and New Jersey. Delay in finishing the Continental Army allowed Washington to regroup near the Delaware River. In a successful maneuver, the United States Commander-in-Chief defeated a corps of Hessian mercenaries near Trenton on 26 December, and captured more than 1,000 prisoners, much of the ammunition and artillery. Immediately afterwards, on 3 January, the rebels defeated a small enemy force near Princeton. Throughout the winter, these revolutionary forces terrorized the enemy with successful guerrilla operations and interception of food and weapon supplies. These victories brought about a morale boost for Americans and an increase in the number of volunteers in the army. The British leadership planned, with the help of troops in Canada, to finally defeat their opponents in the north of New York State and neighborhoods, and then unite with Howe's army. General Burgoyne's army headed south in June 1777. However, thanks to the actions of American partisans, the size of the enemy army during the march decreased from 10 to less than 8,000. During the first large-scale battle on 18 to 20 September, the British commander-in-chief decided to throw all his forces into the fortified positions of the enemy. 11,000 Americans inflicted heavy casualties on the British and made them wait for reinforcements from the New York group. With no reinforcement in sight, on 9 October, the British made a second adventurous attempt to intercept superior positions near Saratoga. This strategic error led to a crushing defeat, in which the British Army lost more than 1,000 dead and wounded, and 6,000 captured. Meanwhile, Howe, taking advantage of his numerical superiority, decided to strike Pennsylvania and Washington's army. On August 25, 1777, his 15,000-strong army set out for Philadelphia. The 12,000 American troops attempted to stop the British advance on the Brandywine River. However, by means of successful bypass maneuvers, Howe defeated Washington in this bloody battle and continued his offensive against the informal capital of the United States. On 26 September, Philadelphia was captured without a fight by the British. Meanwhile, the troops of the revolutionaries depleted the enemy army with guerrilla actions and surprise attacks on the detached units, although at that time they themselves significantly lost their combat capability due to epidemics and buried about 2.5 thousand dead because of various infestations. The grueling war of the American revolutionaries against the British monarchy undermined the latter. This awakened the revanchist hopes of Spain and France, seeking to avenge the British for a series of defeats and territorial losses in the Seven Years' War. However, by providing unofficial arms and financial assistance since 1776, the two countries had been slow to contribute troops, fearing greater exhaustion of their own forces and possible open conflicts with Britain and its European allies. It was only the exhaustion of American and British military forces and the decline of United States industry that prompted these monarchies to intervene directly on the side of the American rebels. In 1778, the French fleet arrived in North America, defeating one of Britain's main trumps. At the same time, the first French ground forces landed in the northern states. From 1779, Spain also joined the United States. It supported the U.S. Navy and conducted military campaigns in the Caribbean and Florida. The prolonged absence of decisive victories in the northern and central theaters of war prompted Britain to redeploy a large part of its troops to the southern states, which were less devastated by war and played the role of a reliable rear for the insurgency. In November 1778, the British landed in Georgia and occupied Savannah on 29 December. They soon easily captured Augusta as well. In October 1779, United States forces under General Benjamin Lincoln attempted to recapture Savannah with the help of French regiments. The attack failed. Henry Clinton's British corps launched a counteroffensive. In March 1780, Clinton and 13,000 soldiers surrounded Lincoln's 6,000 troops in Charleston. The siege ended with the surrender of the rebels on 12 May. The British gained a full operational advantage in the southern theater of war, taking a number of victories over enemy forces at Camden and Guilford Courthouse. However, the British command could not take advantage of their victories because of the fierce guerrilla resistance of the American revolutionaries. Consequently, British control over the southern states was gradually weakened and largely confined to major cities. The final chord of the Great American Revolutionary War was the Virginia Campaign. The British command decided to seize Virginia with the armies of Cornwallis and Clinton. Their total strength was 14,000. Later, with the support of the New York group, they planned to capture the center of enemy territory and defeat the main revolutionary forces. The advance and conquest of cities in this state was difficult for the British due to the stubborn resistance of the local population. The American and French commanders decided to defeat the enemy in Virginia. For this purpose, 6,000 soldiers of the Army of General Washington and 9,000 Frenchmen under the command of Jean-Baptiste Rochambeau went on the campaign. After the victory of the French fleet in the Chesapeake Bay on 5 August 1781, Cornwallis's forces were left without naval support. French-American forces quickly and unexpectedly advanced to the enemy's location in Yorktown. The British decided to retreat to the defensive redoubts in Yorktown, which cut off their tactical retreat. On 27 September, the Allied army besieged the fortress. The Allies, thanks to their active offensive and the superiority in strength of their infantry and artillery, inflicted heavy losses on the besieged British. On 19 October, the British garrison surrendered, and the number of prisoners reached almost 7,000. Other groups of George III's troops were too small to attempt resistance in the region. Therefore, the victory in Yorktown decided the outcome of the war in favor of the United States. In April 1782, the British Parliament voted to end the war against the Americans, and in November 1782, the United States and the monarchy concluded a final truce. The political act of ending the war was the Treaty of Paris, signed on 3 September 1783. According to it, Britain finally admitted its defeat, the right of the former colonies to establish their independent state, and agreed to almost all American terms.